And a blessed Monday to you, and a great week all this week, and to Jesus be the glory and the honor. I'm holding in my hands, and I have more right here, of amazing healing testimonies from Friday's healing service. The Lord did so much, and to Him be the praise. I'm going to read some of these for you before I teach, but thank you for joining me first. I got to say that. Thank you for being with me. You're my wonderful friend and my family. We have become a family. Many of you have been with me for months now. And today I am teaching on intercession in the Holy Ghost. You are going to love it. Lord, we come in the sweet name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that this wonderful time today be so anointed and so special. Bless your people and move upon them mightily. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. Get your Bibles ready. I'm telling you, you're going to love today's teaching. But first, we had a healing service on Friday. Of course, today is Monday, so this was last Friday. And here's one with congestive heart failure. He says, as I was praying, I felt a gentle warm with tingling coming from my hand going around my heart. Praise Jesus, healed. Isn't that wonderful? This is a powerful one. My name is Brian Makua from Kenya. I thank God for healing me, my mother, and our lives in their entirety. So God healed him and his mom. When you were stretching your hands for people to receive healing, I felt the power of God stronger all over my body. And I knew he was dealing with illness in my body. And as you told us to lay hands on the places in our bodies that had issues, I laid it on my leg and I felt the power of God in such a strong way. I know in my spirit that I am not the same. I feel free. I'm healed. I'm delivered from demonic bondage. My mom joined me and she also felt the presence of God strongly. She felt something leave her from the left side of her kidney and her heart. It was as if it was ripped out. Isn't that amazing? God ripped it out. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and to Jesus I want to add be the praise. And here is another one. Hello, Pastor Benny. My name is Gita Biswas from India. There was a lump in my throat. Now it has completely disappeared. Thank you, Jesus. And then she writes, many hallelujahs. And I have many more, which I'll read to you later on this week. But I really want to begin teaching on intercession in the Holy Spirit, because I truly believe the Lord is leading us all into deeper prayer and higher plateaus of prayer. Andrew Murray said this. He said, if we desire to be delivered from the sin of neglecting prayer, we must enlarge our hearts. We must enlarge our hearts for the work of intercession. I think intercession is what truly causes prayer to become intense in our life. And I think it's time now we see miracles. It's time we see answers to our prayers, whether it's for family to be saved or something we need in our own lives or homes. So this is, in my opinion, the most perfect form of prayer is intercession. But intercession needs Psalm 18 verse 14 and Psalm 80, I should say Psalm 80 verse 14. And Psalm 80, verse 18. So go with me to Psalm 80, and look at verse 14 and also verse 18, because without that, I don't think intercession is possible. I had a most blessed time today with the Lord, interceding in tongues. I just could not stop praying in tongues. And the blessed presence of the Lord was so thick in my room. And I truly believe when God quickens us like this, that's when intercession really, really becomes effective. So in Psalm 80, verse 14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Now, you and I, we have a very big enemy called the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to pray or intercede. It fights us. And the flesh has very strong desires towards the world and the things of the world. But when we are still in the presence of God, that flesh begins to crumble real quick. And I mean quick, like within not even 20 minutes. That flesh submits real fast, because now we've made a decision to seek the Lord. You know, Paul the Apostle talks about, I bring my body and put it under subjection. Think about that. Paul the Apostle said he could lose his own soul for not praying and not interceding. I put my body and put it under subjection, lest by any means I will be a castaway. If Paul says that, it should wake all of us up, that we really need to tell this body, no, you're not going to do this. No, you're not going to think this. But we do it when we wait upon the Lord, and our strength then is renewed, just like Isaiah says. And then in verse 18, so will not we go back from thee? Quicken us, Lord, and we will call upon thy name. Amazing, in verse 14 he says, look down from heaven and visit this vine, the life. Our life is like a vine tree. Visit this vine, Lord. Visit this church. Visit your people. And I'm going to wait, Lord. Verse 18 says, I'm going to wait till you quicken me. I'm not going to go back. I'm going to wait. So will not we go back from thee. I will not give up till you quicken me. That's what he means by we will not go back. And you know, King Solomon understood the same thing when he wrote in the Song of Solomon, and chapter 1 and verse 4, one of my favorites, to be honest with you. He said this. He said, draw me, and then we will run after thee. How amazing he would say, we will run. But he says, draw me. You know, he should have said, draw us and we will run. But he says, no, draw me and then we will run. Meaning, when God draws one, he pulls many with him. Isn't that glorious? When God pulls one person, that one person affects many to turn to Jesus. Draw me, Lord, and then I'll bring many with me to your presence. So think about it. If God begins to draw you, maybe you're a mommy or a daddy, you will bring your whole family into the presence of the Lord by your commitment to the Lord, by being in his wonderful presence. So, without this kind of touch, we cannot truly pray or intercede. And like I said, intercession is the most perfect form of prayer, and we really need it more than ever today. Well, look what's happening in the world. I mean, you know, you just have to look around, and then you decide. And I think we all have made that decision. There's only one way out of this miserable mess people are in today. Intercession, prayer. But we need to be quickened, otherwise we're going to give up. And we get quickened by waiting upon the Lord. So, Romans 8:11. I know it's hard to wait, you know, but just play some worship while you wait. It'll make it simpler for you. God, you know, doesn't need that music playing, but we do, okay? We do. What I like to do is I read the word while I'm waiting. And as I'm reading, God quickens me to call upon him. That's what many of the saints of old used to do. That didn't have CD players and things you can download today on your phone and you know, all that. They would just read the word, like Jean Guyon would read the Bible, and God would quicken her. She was a mighty saint of God in France back in the 1600s. And God would quicken her, and as she was reading the word and God quickened her, then she would call on him. Just like the psalmist said, quicken me then, Lord, I'll call on you. But listen to Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, a lot of people have used this for healing. Well, I don't know if it really applies to physical healing as much as people think. Because I think when you read it properly, it says that if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken not only your spirit, but also your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Yes, it has some promise of healing, I'm sure. But I think the real message is he'll quicken your body to call upon him, to pray, to fellowship, to walk with God, to serve him. And also, it means about the resurrection of the dead. But think about this amazing promise in there. He'll quicken us to pray. Because we can't without his quickening power. And you look at verse 13 of the same chapter, Romans 8. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So it's the Holy Spirit who puts to death the things of this flesh, of this body. Then you will live. So we wait upon the Lord. He quickens us. We pray and our body submits. And now the blessed presence of God takes over. Even though our mind is still wandering around, our mind comes into subjection very quickly. And then there's peace and there's tranquility, and the thoughts in our own minds are under control, when we can't control them unless we are in the presence of the Lord. Now, do you remember, and this is very important, do you remember what it says in Genesis 32? And I think some people sometimes miss this beautiful secret in Genesis 32:24. I love this. Watch this. And it's in the first few words of verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Stop. That's a secret. Jacob was left alone. The minute we are alone with God, and now intercession begins because we are alone with God. The minute we're alone with God, the Holy Spirit will quicken us to wrestle with him. That's intercession, because it says he was left alone and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. What gave him strength to wrestle all night? He was alone. He gave God the chance to quicken him. He was alone. And then we all know how literally God changed his nature. God changed his name. His whole life was transformed when he was alone. So what happened? Well, he died to the flesh. That's what happened. Being alone with God kills the flesh. When God created Adam, he put two trees in the garden. And they're still there. Please hear me out. They're still there. The tree of life and the tree of self. They're still there. In our life, there's two things. Life and self. The tree of life is the Lord who gives us life. But then there's self. And Adam chose the wrong tree. And when he chose the wrong tree, he got an eye disease. You know what an eye disease is? He's focused on himself. I, me. Not God, me. You know what Satan had a problem with? Another eye disease. You know how many times he said, I, in Isaiah 14? 5 times. I will exalt my throne. I will sit on the mountain. He kept saying, I find. The devil has a disease called an eye disease. A self-disease, you know. And that's what happens when people don't pray. They get an eye disease. They get a self disease. They focus on themselves. And they get an eye disease. That's what happened to Adam. What happened when the presence of God lifted? He discovered who? Himself. He discovered he was naked, right? He saw his nakedness. He didn't see the Lord. The glory departed when he quit walking with God. So, two trees. The tree of life, the Lord. The tree of self, the flesh. And we choose that every day. Every single day of my life, I have to look at those two trees in my life. How about you? Every day, do I seek the Lord or do I seek self? Do I look to the Lord or do I look to myself? Simplicitum. You all know the answer for strength, right? The Lord. Self will bring me down. So, we will always face both. Every single day of our life, we face both. And I must say, when you and I were born again, self did not change at all. When you and I were born again, self did not change at all. The Lord did not come. Please hear me. This is so important. The Lord Jesus did not come to educate self or to change self or to change its living conditions. Or he did not come to expose self to the highest kind of morality. Nor did Jesus come to replace self. Because the Bible says, no good thing is in myself. It's desperately wicked. So what did he come to do? He came that we might crucify self and say no to it. So we cannot change it. We cannot educate it. We cannot change its living conditions. Self will still be corrupt. We cannot expose it to the highest laws of God and his holiness because it doesn't care. Self doesn't care about that. And there's nothing we can do except one thing. Paul said, no good thing dwells in my flesh. Nothing good. So, it's wicked. Remember what he said? Who shall deliver me from this body of corruption? Who shall deliver me from this miserable body of corruption? And one day he said, Jesus has, and one day we're going to see it reality. But in the meantime, we crucify self. We put self under subjection. We say no to it because God has given us the power to say no to it. You can. Yes, oh yes, you can. You can win and you will win. And intercession is the only way I've known all my life. Listen, I've had to learn this lesson as early as this morning again. Only intercession, only deep prayer will crucify it. It's just the way it is. And then all day long you have peace and joy and victory over sin and the world. And the next morning it starts all over again. No leftovers in the kingdom. No leftovers in the kingdom. There's no such thing as leftover glory, leftover power. It's daily. It's a daily walk, it's daily bread, it's daily fellowship. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, day by day. So, when you begin this blessedness, then you begin to really experience Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. And that word infirmities means weaknesses. So the Holy Spirit now takes over, helps our weaknesses, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, meaning we can't do it on our own. He's the one praying, not us. We just surrender to him. That's why I'm calling this teaching intercession in the Holy Ghost. And he that searcheth the hearts, meaning God the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That to me is incredible. And you know, when you and I begin to experience this beauty in the Lord, something happens. Something, I think, incredible happens. What we begin to experience, Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Now, what you thought was hard becomes easy because it flows out of you. Private prayer produces constant prayer. Private intercession produces constant intercession. It's like your heart doesn't sleep. Your body will, but your heart remains awake praying at night. Isn't that amazing that we can actually pray while we're sleeping? God begins to speak to us in dreams of the night, visions of the night. You know, Solomon experienced that kind of intercession. So did Abraham. They were praying and dreaming at the same time. Don't you remember when God came to Solomon? It says he was asleep, but he was talking at the same time. He was praying at the same time because fellowship with God will cause that to happen. And there's actually amazing scriptures in the Bible about this. One is in the Song of Solomon. It says, my heart awaketh. Even though I'm sleeping, my heart is not. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I remember my wife Suzanne back in the early 80s when we had a plane crash. We were in a plane crash here in Florida. A Cessna single engine plane ran out of fuel and crashed. And I was in that plane, so was my dear wife Suzanne. And when I was pulling her out of the plane, you know, I was not injured, she was, and the others were. There were six people. I remember my wife Suzanne praying in tongues with blood gushing out of her arm and her leg. That she doesn't remember that she was praying in tongues. I remember. Because I was pulling her out and I've told her, I said, Sue, you were praying in tongues really strong while I'm pulling you out of the plane and you're bleeding everywhere. I saw with my own eyes someone pray when their body was completely knocked out and blood flowing everywhere. God will do that miraculously sometimes when we are praying, because if we continue praying, prayer will just become a part of our life even while we're sleeping. So I'm going to continue teaching tomorrow on this. Very important, because I want to see faith arise in you for it. You have waited, you've been waiting for miracles with your children, with your job, with your finances, with your home, with your future, and much more. Intercession will come your way. You'll see miracles you've never seen in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to be the intercessor in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the sweet name of Jesus, let this become reality. Let this intercession become reality in the lives of my brothers and my sisters I'm talking to now, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, and meet every need, I pray. And Lord, I rebuke sickness now, and I rebuke disease now. As you healed your people on Friday, Lord, continue to heal them now in Jesus' name, meeting every need, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, or financial, in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said, amen and amen. I'm going to continue this teaching tomorrow because I want to talk about how do we watch and how do we travail in spirit and what does it mean to do both and so much more. So you're going to see where you will become God's delight, because the Bible says that those who intercede are God's delight. Now, I want to pray with you that the Lord will bless you financially, because that is something we all pray for. We all pray for. Finances can really be, the pressure of finances can be so heavy sometimes. It can affect your faith, you know. But don't let it affect your faith. Just rely on the Lord. Let Him give you peace as you seek Him. Let Him give you peace as you obey Him. Yes, obedience is tough, but obedience is very important, very necessary. Without it, we are not going to see God fulfill His promises. I told you Friday, I'll tell you again, I had a meeting years ago in Dallas, and the Lord spoke to me to give Ron Luce, who had a great youth ministry, the offering. God said, give him the whole offering. You know, that was a tough one because we needed to pay our expenses, but God said, give him the whole offering. It was $60,000 I gave on that Saturday night in Dallas. I didn't feel good about it, not one iota. Anyone who says that when they give, they actually rejoice is not always true. I was in pain. Because it says, he that soweth seed weeping in the Psalms, and I was weeping. I was really troubled. That following Wednesday, a man gave our ministry $600,000. He just sold his business for $6 million and gave the tithe to BHM. I was amazed that we gave 60 and got 600. It was tough giving away the 60 because I didn't know how we would pay. It was in a hotel. We had a big conference and, you know, a lot of money, a lot of expenses. But God gave us 600,000 for obeying, and I had to obey. Years ago, I'll never forget this, in OCC, there was a man sitting in front of me from Switzerland. And in those days, I used to wear watch and bring and this and that. Thank God today I don't. And the Lord said, give him your watch and your ring and your tie tag and your cufflinks, the whole thing. I give it to that man. Within days, personally, God blessed me with more jewelry from Jack Tanasian in Orlando. I walked into a store and God spoke to him to give me back, and he did not know I had done that. And he actually gave me things that were more expensive than what I gave. You cannot outgive God. You can never outgive God. When He talks to you, I'm telling you, obey Him and watch what He will do with you. It happens every single time. Lord, as they obey you now, bless them, increase them, take all that word away from them about the future, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can give right now to Benny Hinn Ministries. It's right there on the platform you're watching me on where it says donate or give. Or simply go to our website, bennyhinn.org. Or you can text BHM 45777 and become a partner with me. I need you to become a partner. For $30 or $50 if you can a month, help me continue doing what I'm doing all over the world. And for that, I'm going to send you a beautiful instrumental. So go ahead and send me an email and let me know that you would like to be a partner to Benny Hinn. That's Pastor Benny, I should say. Pastor Benny at BennyHinn.org. That's it. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow for another wonderful teaching on intercession in the Holy Ghost. Bye-bye.